Hallelujah. Peace to all of you. First, I'd like to praise and thank God that all of us can gather here for the next 2 weeks to have fellowship with one another and also to study God's Word. So I was assigned to share the book of Matthew. So from today until the end of this week, we'll study the book of Matthew together. So before we go into the book of Matthew, let's see what is, you know, the date of this book was written, and also maybe the theme, and also the author. Right? So who's the author of this book? It's a very difficult question. It should be Matthew, right? Does Matthew have another name? Yes, what is his other name? Levi, yes. So Matthew is known to be Matthew and also Levi. And he's one of the early disciples that Jesus Christ have chosen to follow him. Because during the time he was just at, do this tax collector, and Jesus Christ just called him, follow me. So he pretty much got rid of everything and follow Jesus Christ. And the date of this epistle, the date of this book was written maybe around 50 or early 60 AD. But they're not 100% sure, but this is the estimate when the book was written. And also, the theme. What do you think? Do you guys read the book of Matthew? I'm sure a lot of you read the book of Matthew before, right? What is the theme of the book of Matthew? Anybody? The theme? The book of Matthew? There's four gospels in the book. In the Bible, right? And there's three they call synoptic gospel, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Then there's also a book of John. So in each book, try to accomplish, because that theme is what? Truly know the Savior. So these four books, written in four different angles, to know our Lord Jesus Christ better. So the book of Matthew, what did Matthew want us to know about Lord Jesus Christ? Anyone? Just yell it out. Yes. That Jesus Christ is the King of the Jews. Or Lord Jesus Christ, he is the King. So this is the main theme in the book of Matthew. And the book of Mark. Mark wants to focus and Lord Jesus Christ from a human, right? From a servitude point of view, that he come to serve mankind. And the book of Luke talk about how Lord Jesus Christ, he is a human being, right? He has the genealogy, was born from Joseph and Mary. In the book of John, the Bible talk about how Lord Jesus Christ, he's God himself. So for us, we are focused in the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew is written by a Jew, right, which is Levite. And Levite, he's a Jew, so he's written to what? To the Jews. About a Jew. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the King of the Jews. So let's go to some verses. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. Right? Hopefully you copy all this down, right? Because this is to fulfill the prophecy and to fulfill the Old Testament that our Lord Jesus Christ, he is King. He is King. So in Matthew chapter 1, verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So here, it say what? To fulfill what God had been spoken to his prophet. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. Verse 5. So they say to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, verse 6, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Once again, it's to, this talk about the fulfillment that is written in the Old Testament. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 15. 2:15. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I call my son. Once again, it's to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy. Now let's go to chapter 2, verse 23. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, he should be called a Nazarene. Once again, the word they use is to fulfill. Then let's go to chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 15, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of Gentiles, verse 16. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. So once again, it's to fulfill, right? To fulfill. Then if you go to chapter 5, verse 17 to 18, again, it would talk about the fulfillment. Then if you go to chapter 12, verse 17, it also 17 to 13, it also talks about the fulfillment. Then if you go to chapter 13, verse 14 and verse 40, and verse 35, it also once again to say it's fulfilled. And also chapter 21, verse 4. And this also to tell us alludes quite is to fulfill the prophecy. And then the last one is in chapter 27, verse 9, to fulfill. So for sure the book of Matthew is to show that our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the King of the Jews. And he's the King that had been prophesied for 1,000 years before, but now he came to fulfill everything. So in other words, after you and I have studied the book of Matthew together, then we will come to a realization that our Lord Jesus Christ is truly King of Kings. And he has dominion over everything. And he put everything under his feet, and everything is under his authority. That is what the book of Matthew tried to share with us. But also, if you read through the book of Matthew, there's three characteristics that you can find, from this book. The first, talking about that this gospel is the gospel for the Jews. For the Jews. But it doesn't mean not only for the physical Jews, but nowadays, it's also for the spiritual Jews. That is for those who true worship of Jesus Christ, those who've been purchased by his blood, those are the spiritual Jews. And the second characteristic is the Bible talking about ecclesiastic, right? In other words, that there's no, in the other three gospels, they did not mention the word church. Right? Church. But in the book of Matthew, it mentioned twice about the church. So we talk about a point of view of the church also. That the church, if our Lord Jesus Christ gave them the authority to bind or to loose, then the church also had the power and authority, just like our Lord Jesus Christ is the King over everything. So the King gives us the power and the dominion over certain things, then you and I also will have the power and dominion. And the last thing, is this book also, one other characteristic of this book is also evangelistic. Evangelistic. It's more of talking about how to save people soul. In chapter 28, the last three verses, what did Lord Jesus Christ say? Anybody remember? Humphrey, any thought? Maybe it's over to that. The last book, the last chapter of Matthew, right? The last three, 4 verses, what did our Lord Jesus Christ say? What did he want us to do? Go, right? Go. And make disciples of every nation. Right? baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. So that's why this book, we can categorize it, characterize it, also evangelistic. Okay? Any thought, any question? Maybe still too early, right? And then, let's go to the outline for this whole book. I mean, all of these things that I'm talking about now is important, but it's really not that important. It's nothing really to do with the truth and stuff like that, but we just want you to have an overall view, right? Overall view. So the minute we go into the book of Matthew, then we can understand, you know, why the book was written this way. So the outline. So chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 23, it talks about the birth and the childhood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that is the first outline. Then second, chapter 3 to chapter 4, verse 11. It talks about the preparation of our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry. Right? So the first one is the birth and childhood of our Lord Jesus Christ, chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 23. The second one is the preparation of our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, from chapter 3 to chapter 4, verse 11. And the third outline we should look at, or the third point that we want to talk about outline, is that Jesus' ministry and Galilee. And that is the whole, a lot of chapters. That is from chapter 4, verse 12, to chapter 18, verse 35. This is Jesus' ministry and Galilee. And the fourth point of this outline is Jesus' ministry in prayer, which is chapter 19 to chapter 20, verse 11. Perea, P-E-R-E-A, right? Chapter 19 to chapter 20, verse 11. And the fifth point, that Jesus' ministry in Judea, right? Judea. That is chapter 20, verse 17 to verse 34. 17 to 34. And the sixth point, Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem. That is chapter 21, chapter 21 to chapter 25, verse 46. And then the seventh point, that is Jesus' suffering. That is from chapter 26 to chapter 27. Verse 66. The seventh point is Jesus' suffering from 26 to 27 till the last verse. And the last point of this outline is Jesus' resurrection. That is chapter 28 until the end. Okay? Did everybody got that? Okay, which one are you guys missing? Which part? You guys missing the first point, second point, third point, fourth point? The first point? Okay, let me go with the outline once again, okay? So the first point of this outline is from chapter 1 to chapter 2, verse 23. This is the birth and our Lord Jesus Christ's childhood. And second is the preparation of Jesus' ministry, right? Preparation of Jesus Christ's ministry. That is from chapter 3 to chapter 4, verse 11. Okay, that's second point. Okay, everybody get that so far?
Yes.
And the third point is Jesus' ministry in Galilee. That is from chapter 4, verse 12 to chapter 18, verse 35. Anybody get that? Okay. Now the fourth point. Jesus' ministry and career, right? That is chapter 19 to chapter 20, verse 11. Jesus' ministry and career, chapter 19 to chapter 20, verse 11. And the fifth point, Jesus' ministry in Judea, chapter 20, verse 17 to verse 34. And the sixth point, Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem, chapter 21 to chapter 25, verse 46. And the seventh point, talk about Jesus' suffering. That is from chapter 26 to chapter 27, the last verse. And the last point is point 8 of this outline, Jesus' resurrection, that is in chapter 28. Okay? Now we're going to choose what, because there's no way we can study in the whole book of Matthew, right? And I think we've got 12 hours, is it 12 hours? I think 12 hours. There's no way we can do that, right? So we get to choose a certain passage, a certain topic that you and I can discuss about this. So once again, this book of Matthew is written by Levi. And Levi is a Jew and he's a tax collector. And his focus is also, his audience is all written to the Jews. And the reason he wants to write to them because he wants them to know that the King of the Jews has come in the flesh, has come to mankind. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. Until now, the Jewish people still do not believe that the Messiah has come yet, right? They're still waiting for the Messiah. But we know our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Messiah. He is the King of the Jews. But in the end days, they will all be enlightened. They will all be revealed to know that our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the King of the Jews. But meanwhile, for you and I, we already know that Jesus Christ, he is the King, right? He is the King. So let's study this together. So we know that from in chapter 1, right? In chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 17, it wants to tell us the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? The genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. So in this genealogy, how many women are in our Lord Jesus Christ genealogy? How many women? How many? Four. So which one is the first one? Who's the first one? Huh? Who's the first woman is in this genealogy? Tamar, right? Then the second one? Rahab. Then the third one? Ruth. And then the fourth one? You say this fourth, right? Solomon is not a woman, right? Actually, it's only three. It's only three. So there's three women. Actually, if you really look at these three women, their story are very special. Their story is very special. See, the reason why they be able to be in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, something that happened to them, right? That's very special. For example, Tamar, right? How did she become part of the genealogy? What happened? Anybody know the story? Okay, for your homework, right? So Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth. The homework is that why they were able to be part of our Lord Jesus Christ's genealogy. What special situation that happened to them that they become part of this genealogy? And we know that the Jewish genealogy, it all most, I mean, every time they talk about genealogy, they always talk about descendant from man, right? Right? Abraham begot Isaac, Isaac begot Jacob, right? There's hardly any woman in the genealogy. But this case is very special. So for the Jews to read this genealogy, they must have a lot of questions. They must have a lot of doubts. They must have a lot of thought. Why are these three women are so special that Matthew was willing to put it part of our Lord Jesus Christ's genealogy? And on the end, the conclusion is that see, all three of them, okay, you can do the homework, right? You come up with a conclusion. Okay? So of course, and our Lord Jesus Christ's birth is also very special. And you and I must know this is the true King, that his birth was prophesied so many years ago. And what is that prophecy? Let's go to chapter 1, verse 22. Chapter 1, verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, verse 23, behold, the virgin shall be born with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Who is this prophet that prophesies this prophecy? Who is the prophet? Huh? Who is this prophet? Isaiah, right? Can you imagine if you were Isaiah during that time, right? And you prophesy that one day will be a virgin, right? Will give birth to a male child. What do people think? If you prophesy like that, what would people think? That you are a crazy person, right? If a woman is a virgin, if she never known by a man, how can she bear a son? That's impossible, right? So that's why our Jesus Christ's birth, it's so unique, it's so wonderful, right? All the other religion that anyone ever claimed, that Buddha, for example, right? He's born of his mother was virgin when he was born, right? No. What about Confucius, right? No. Anyone. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ's birth prophesied 1,000 years before. Not only that it came true to the point that a virgin gave birth to our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. So in other words, if we want to really know our Lord Jesus Christ, because his name, we say his name will be called Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. So that's why when you think about our church, when we want to establish a church, of course, any church we want to establish, we want God to be with us. God to be with us. But only way that God can be with us, the Holy Spirit must, what? Overshadow it. Come. The Holy Spirit must be the one that established this church. For example, in our church, when you look at the start of our church, who is the founder? Pastor Liang is the founder? Who is the founder? Huh? Who is the founder? Okay, Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ? No, when people read, our church, the publication, when we talk about the founder of our church is the Holy Spirit or our Lord Jesus Christ, they think we are crazy too. Because how can that be? Like, how can that be? But all the other churches, if you look at the founder, you can never see Jesus Christ as the founder. So now when we proclaim something is so impossible to happen. But that is the reality. The reason how TJC established is through the Holy Spirit. Just like our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was born, through the Holy Spirit. And how Isaac was born. Isaac was the promised one, right? How was he born? Now let's go to that. Genesis, book of Genesis, chapter 21. Genesis chapter 21. Verse 1. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1 and verse 2. And the Lord visited Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken, verse 22. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age. When you read this, don't you feel it's so amazing, right? Quite often when someone begot someone, right? For example, Abraham has to be the one that, for example, Abraham known Sarah, right? Then Sarah conceived. But here in chapter 21, verse 1 and verse 2, the Bible said the Lord visited Sarah. And after the Lord visited Sarah, and then Sarah conceived. Right? Sarah conceived. It seems here that Abraham has nothing to do with it. But of course, Abraham has something to do with it. But why did the Bible say it in such a way? Because the Bible wants to tell us, want us to know that the promised son, the true church of God, the true bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, must be born through God, not through men. Not through men. So that's why you don't wonder when our Lord Jesus Christ was born. And Jesus Christ, he is the church. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Savior. So this Savior, born from a virgin. And how? Because the Holy Spirit, right, came upon Mary. Then she conceived. So the same thing in our church is like this. So any church want to be according to God's will, want to be prompt according to God's promise, and cannot be born of man. Cannot be born of man. So in other words, if a man is the one that established the church, and this church is not according to, is not born of God. Only a church is born of the Holy Spirit, born of our Lord Jesus Christ, then this church is a promised church. Because I know nowadays, it's very confusing, right? How can you and I proclaim there will only save church? Why do we say that? There's thousand other churches. But first, just look. Get the teaching of the Bible. For example, if you are truly my disciples, you will keep my commandments. And one of the commandments is the Sabbath. So we look at all the churches in this world, those who do not worship on Sabbath day, actually they're probably 90% of them, even 95% of them. And the one who worship on Sabbath, they worship according to the Old Testament, under the law, not under grace. So on the end, the true worshiper in TJC, follow God's commandment. So that's why things like this, we need to go back to the Bible and truly try to understand and know what is the will of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't just, sometimes we just think about, oh, the church say this, the church say that. No. Leave TJC, right? The name TJC just on the side. Don't even think about that. Let's talk about what does the Bible say. That is the main point. Because sometimes we allow the name of the church to overshadow the truth that the church is preaching. Yes, maybe we are a little bold, right? To name my church True Jesus Church. But hey, if I have a beautiful daughter, right? She's really beautiful. I call her Bella, right? Because Bella means beautiful, right? You're not going to call something so beautiful ugly, right? So we're not going to call, I mean, every time I drive to Houston from Dallas, right? I'm always drive by this church called the Cowboy Church, right? It's a cowboy church, right? Are we going to call a church, cowboy church? How's that? How's that sound? Cowboy church. So every time you come to serve, you have to wear boots and hats and belt buckle, things like that, right? But you're a cowboy, right? It's very strange. Of course, many churches can name anything they want. But hey, for us, we like the name True Jesus Church. Yes, even though it seems this bold, has a lot of pride, it has nothing to do with that. If we have something in our church that is so precious, that is the truth, that is our Lord Jesus Christ, then let's yell from the housetop. Right? But of course, the reason nowadays why we see that, you know, the name of our church is, we shouldn't talk too much about, because the reason, because we ourselves, when people come to our church, they do not see us practicing the truth. And really, that's the only reason. But one day, right? Why? Because when you call your daughter Bella, When people come to see your daughter, she better be beautiful. If they come here, your daughter's so ugly, like, man, why you call your daughter beautiful, right? It doesn't make sense. So nowadays, this is what it seems like. When people come to a church and we profess that we are the true church, then they come here, they see us arguing, fighting, no love, no peace, no joy, right? Yeah, quite often when I go up and give a sermon, right? And because we claim this is a true church of God, everybody should be full of love, full of peace, full of joy. But every time I look to the audience, everybody looks so sad. Right, really? So sad, so tired, so unmotivated, right? So when you go up there and give a sermon, you also feel so unmotivated too, right? Because everybody is really. But if you go and preach in Africa, wow, really? You preach 3-4 hours straight, everybody just, you know, insanely like, you know, active, right? Every time you say something, they say amen, right? We just talk and talk and talk. That's why one of the ministers, he spoke for so long, you forget that, because he's bald, right? So the roof is steel roof, right? One of those steel roof. And the sun was beating on the roof and it's really hot. So because he's bald, the heat went right through his head and he had the heat stroke, right? Almost died. But he continued to preach and preach and preach. Why? Because he was so excited. Really, one day when you get a chance to go to Africa, you preach there. When you preach, you don't want to stop. But over here, the minute you go up, 5 years later, you want to come down from the pulpit. Why? Because really, we look at all, anybody feel like the whole world is on our shoulders, right? We feel so sad, we feel so depressed, right? This last Saturday, I was in Dallas Church, and we were singing hymns before service, and everybody's singing so, the voice is so low, like that, right? And I'm like, what's going on, right? Then when I go up and lead the service, everybody's singing, you hardly can hear them singing, right? And like, this is Sabbath. It's a day of joyfulness, right? It's a day full of peace and joy, but we have no heart to sing, right, at all. Of course, this is, if friends and true seekers come to a church, they also feel like this. They say, yeah, you're the true church of God, all right? Really, we must manifest the truth that is from the Bible. When we share people the Word of God, we must be confident that yes, we practice the truth. Not only teaching the truth, but we practice the truth. But maybe one day, they will come to a realization, right? How precious our children is. Feel how precious it is. Right now, because many of us born into church, we just feel, since we are little, right? It's nothing special, right? And other churches seem so much more special. But we hope that one day you will truly know who our Savior is, right? Who our Lord Jesus Christ is. That's the day that you will truly transform your life. So that's why here, just think about this. A prophet, right, prophesies, there's a virgin should be with child and be a son. And this is amazing prophecy. If people heard of that time, what Isaiah was saying, they probably think he was crazy. Maybe they wouldn't take him seriously. So the same thing nowadays. Nowadays, prophecy is not to tell what can happen in the future. Nowadays, prophecy is what we say, what's happening in the Bible. We share with people. Just like you need to be born again of water and spirit. This is a prophecy. Why? Because a lot of people do not believe, right? That you need to be baptized to be saved. But you and I, this is the teaching from the Bible. So we share this to people. This is also a prophecy. That on the end days, if a person want to be saved, they must be born again of water and spirit. But so many people do not know this. Maybe they even think we're too legalistic, right? In the sense that, why do we set so many rules? But actually, if you go back to the Bible, when we read the epistle, many times the author write about doctrines, right? Make sure you continue to keep the doctrines, right? Make sure you follow the doctrines, right? But nowadays we feel that it's not good. It's whatever people feel like they want to do, let's do it. It cannot be like that. In any organization, in any place, including the church, if we want everything to, you know, go very smoothly, we want things not to be chaotic, there must be rules and regulation. That is part of it. And, you know, for salvation, it's also the same thing. We cannot just say, okay, I believe, and then I'm going to be saved. How can that be? If that is the case, why did our Lord Jesus Christ have to come down, crucify himself for you and I, shed his blood, ascend to heaven, send the Holy Spirit down, for us what? Only to believe we are saved? It cannot be. And that's why there's 66 books in the Bible. 27 of them in the New Testament. And these 27 teach us the doctrine and God's will for us to follow. So don't be deceived when people say, no, God is love. God is love. If you love him, believe in him, you are saved. No, the Bible never teaches this. The Bible even teaches us, those who do not know God, those who do not follow the gospel of God, the wrath of God will come upon them on the end days. So that's why we must regroup, brothers and sisters. We must go back to the basic. And the basic is the foundation that you and I have. That is the truth that's in the Bible. So here, when Isaiah talked about being born a virgin, yes, people think that it's crazy. Maybe nowadays the same thing for us. When we say there's only one saved church, maybe people think, that is crazy. How can that be? Especially your church that finds Asian people, right? I remember one time in Pacifica Church, and we have this fog festival, right? So every year they have fog festival, so we run a booth outside this festival. And one time this Caucasian man came by our booth, and he's like a Buddhist, right? This Caucasian man is all having like this yellow and orange robe all over him, right? And he had no shoes on, right? And he came up to a booth, he's like, brothers, what happened to you? You and I should worship Buddha, not Jesus Christ, right? Because for him, we just feel like, why is this bunch of Asian people, right, is preaching Jesus and not Buddha, right? So that's why he came to talk to us, right? But it's true. Because if we look at in the Bible, really God's thought is not our thought at all. The way God does things is so different from us. Really. I mean, right now it seems, yes, our church is full of Asian people. But you go to Hawaii, right? There's all Hawaiian people. You go to Africa, I don't see any Asian people in Africa, right? Why we have so many Asian here? Because all the immigrants, the earlier immigrants that come here, they're Asian, of course. They're going to preach to other Asian people, right? It's natural. Just like at the beginning of the church in Jerusalem, who did they preach to? To the Jews, right? So that's why Jesus Christ told what? Preaching what? In Jerusalem, right? Then the next one where? Judea, right? And then the next one where? Samaria. What is the difference between Samaria and Jerusalem, Judea? What's the difference? Huh? What's the difference? So why did Jesus say Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then Judea? Why? Okay, yes. So the Jews, they are full Jews. I said, Samaria, they're half and half. Then only when you preach to those who are half and half, then you can go and preach to the rest of the nation. The same thing at our church right now, right? Right now, actually, a lot of people come to church, they're English speaking. But outwardly, they look Asian, right? But they're English speaking. But after this step, then we preach to the rest of the world. But in the beginning, yes, maybe only to Taiwanese, right? Only to Chinese, right? But now you have Cambodian people too, right? And Bob Parker is plenty of Cambodian. I'm Cambodian, right? And 13 of my family members are Cambodian, right? So now we are grown, right? But don't be deceived in the sense that, oh, our church is just Asian church. No. This is a church follow after God's own heart. And we have to have faith in that, right? And then, in verse 23, chapter 1, right? And they, and she called his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Do we really have this kind of faith? That God is the one that establishes church. And God is the one who is also with us. With us. If we don't believe this, then how can you and I continue to preach the gospel? How can our faith continue to increase, right? Because sometimes when people come to visit our church, we feel so fearful, well, do not pray, don't pray in the Spirit, right? Why? Because if we pray in the Spirit we pray, they will scare them away. The Spirit of God is not the Spirit who scares people away, right? Tell me where in the Bible that is it. The Spirit of God is so scary, to scare people away, right? But what? The Spirit of God is a spirit of comfort. When people come from other churches, when they come, what? Our friends come here to seek for peace and joy. The best thing you and I can do is to kneel down and pray. Why? Because when we kneel down and pray, we will comfort them. The Holy Spirit will comfort them. But if you and I have no faith to truly believe that the Holy Spirit will comfort them, then yes, they will get scared away, right? And the Spirit is not only a spirit of comfort, it's a spirit of truth. So anyone who wants to come to find the truth, the best thing you and I should do is to kneel down to pray for the Holy Spirit to move them. But if we have no faith to kneel down and pray, if we feel like if we kneel down and pray, we're already going to scare them away. Actually, they will get scared away. Why? Because our own lack of faith. This is so important. Really, from now on, when we talk about the truth, we do not need to even bring the name GJC involved, right? Just don't even bring it. Just talk about what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach us, right? And don't say, oh, you know, preacher so-and-so say this, preacher so-and-so say that. No, the Bible say this, the Bible say that. That's what's important. When you and I really reflect of all the truth that's in the Bible, and we try to go out and see what other churches practice the truth. I mean, because I did not grow up in this church. And for me, the TJC is so precious. There's no other church even come close to our church. Because I've been to many churches before. But we must realize that. To see how wonderful our church is. If we don't realize that, then we always can have this doubt. When we kneel down and pray, we're going to scare people away, this and that. Not at all. Not at all. But when we have the faith, you say, the minute we kneel down and pray, and people's heart will be moved, this is the time that we know that our faith has increased. So don't be afraid, right? To speak the truth and to stand up for our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't use our old human thought, our old human ways, right? To, when we try to share things that is recorded in the Bible, we feel that maybe, you know, we are lack of faith ourselves, right? Maybe we scare other people away, but that is not true, right? That is not true. And then, and we know the birth. Then, of course, the wise men from the east, right, came to visit our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see, chapter 2, verse 2, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Right. So once again here, the wise men came to look for our Lord Jesus Christ because they have heard that this time the king of the Jews had been born, that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And once again, let's go with the theme of this whole book, right? This whole book. So in other words, when you and I truly understand who our Lord Jesus Christ is, we also will make him to become kings, a king over our hearts. And that's the only time that we can truly reign over ourselves and over other people. But if we don't realize and allow our Lord Jesus Christ to be king over our hearts, it will be very difficult to increase in our faith and difficult to preach the gospel. So let's bow and praise Jesus.